Once again this morning, I've included in the bulletin an insert with some teaching notes on it, and I would invite you to follow along as we join in this message together and to write things down as you feel God is calling you to do. In a sermon 2 weeks ago at annual conference, Bishop Park showed a video that I appreciated so much that I wanted you to see it this morning. And so I'm going to ask our media crew to crank that up. And let's just take a look at this for a few minutes.
The series is called How Do I Know? And a lot of times when people hear the phrase, how do I know, the next thing they say is what? How do I know what? But the key really isn't to know what. The key is to know why. Because when you know your why, you have options on what your what can be. For instance, my why is to inspire people to walk in purpose. My what is stand-up comedy. My what is writing books. My what can be going out with some friends to eat. In fact, another what that is moving me towards my why is a web series that we have out now called Break Time. So every Wednesday at 3 o'clock, you should subscribe to the channel. We do a series called Break Time on YouTube. So 3 o'clock, we drop a new episode. One episode in particular I'm about to show you a clip to. We were in Winston-Salem. So Break Time, this is how it works. I travel the country. I do stand-up comedy, probably an hour, hour and a half at an event. And in the middle of my show, I'll just sit down and start talking to the audience. And funny just happens. Or I'll meet somebody who's really interesting. So I met this one guy, and he said that he teaches music at a school. I was like, all right, you teach music, you know, can you sing? And then I'm just going to show you the clip. Check it. So you're a musical director.
Cool. Yes, sir.
All right, so let me get a couple bars of, like, Amazing Grace. Can you do the first part of that? Go ahead.
Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Wow. That bro could sing. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Now, what you give me the version is if your uncle just got out of jail, you got shot in the back when you was a kid, I'm just saying, let me see the hood version real quick, if you know which version I'm talking about. Just see if that exists. Let me see what you got.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved.
Here's the thing. The first time I asked him to sing, he knew what he was doing. The second time I asked him to sing, he knew why he was doing it. When you know your why, your what has more impact because you're walking in or towards your purpose.
So I want to ask you this morning, as we continue this series of messages on worship, people of God, do you know your why? Do you know your why? Over these past few weeks, as we've been focusing on what worship is, and we've been digging into the first letter of Peter, and if you were to ask the Apostle Peter what worship is, he would tell you several things, and we've been looking at those. Worship is praising God. Worship is coming before God with our brokenness and receiving God's grace. Worship is bringing our prayers to God, trusting that God is able to meet our need. Worship is hearing the Word of God. It's celebrating God's love. It's discovering that we belong. It's offering our lives to Christ. All this and more, Peter would tell us, is what worship is. And what and how we worship is important, but there is something even more important. Why do you worship? Do you know your why? Without your why, worship is nothing more than a weekly rehearsal of a familiar ritual. Peter's why runs through this entire letter like a thread. And Peter's why is the same why for all the followers of Jesus. As it says in number 2 in your notes, love is our why. Our why is love. Without love, worship is just a routine you go through. But when your worship flows out of a heart that is in love with Jesus, you may not be able to sing like the man that sang Amazing Grace, but it will take your worship to a whole different level. Here in 1 Peter chapter 3, the apostle declares that you and I are loved. And I want to begin at the end of our passage for this morning, where Peter is discussing the meaning of our baptism. And in verse 20 of 1 Peter chapter 3, he recalls the story of Noah and how the God of grace saved Noah and his family through water. And then he continues at verse 21. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. What Peter is saying there is that baptism, before anything else, baptism conveys that before anything else, God loves us. As one commentator on this passage writes, what came first in each of our lives was a love from God, which is unaffected by whether or not we choose to respond to or to recognize that love. God loves us, period. McClellan continues that some may not feel God's love. Some may not want it. Others may choose to ignore it. Regardless of our response, God's love endures. Baptism is really about seeing everything through the lens of love, knowing that we are loved by God, and as a response, we offer ourselves in worship. And according to Peter, when love is your why, when you live out of the recognition that you are loved, it changes the way you look at everything. For one thing, when love is my why, as it says in number 3 in your notes, I am no longer a slave to fear. The people that first received this letter were living in fear. Imagine being forced from your home and your community and living in a far-off strange land as an exile. They were. Imagine not knowing where your next meal would come from. Many of them did not know that. Imagine being beaten or imprisoned for your faith. They lived that reality. Fear was a daily experience for those who first received this letter. Now, our circumstances are much different, and yet we have all known fear. Fear for our children. Fear for our health or the health of a loved one. Fear because our circumstances have changed and we don't know what the future holds. And I wonder what fears you might be facing today. Fear can be a healthy thing. It can help us to avoid danger. It can motivate us to change things for the better. But fear can also hold us captive. Maybe you remember a few months ago on Youth Sunday how our young people performed that powerful drama. And they had a door up here on the stage, and a young woman who could not and would not open that door because of her fears. How many of us have been kept from becoming the persons we can become in Christ because fear has a hold of us? But according to Peter, when love is your why, it changes everything. Look at verse 13. Now, who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Now, to sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart means to adore Christ, to keep your heart's attention on Christ, to live in the awareness of His love for you and your love for Him. Being centered in the Lord Jesus Christ frees you from fear. The more I know and love Jesus, the more I can live in this world without fear, because I know He holds the future. And life is worth living today, because nothing can separate me, no matter what, from His love. The Apostle John in 1 John chapter 4 says it this way: there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. You know, often we think of the opposite of fear as being doubt or courage, lacking courage. But according to John, it's love. Perfect love casts out fear. In 2008, Betsy and I were part of a team that visited the Good Shepherd Mission in southern India. The mission was started by this couple of school teachers from India named Henry and Viola. Both of them were Lutheran pastor's kids. And over the past 25 years, the lives of hundreds of abandoned and abused children have literally been transformed by the loving Christian community that Henry and Viola have created. On the first day that our team was there, when we were touring the facilities, Brother Henry introduced us to an 8-year-old boy whose name was Sri Hari. Now, Sri had been brought to this mission just the day before. His mother had died, and his father had put him on a train, hoping that someone would find him and take care of him. Imagine that. So the day before, these two older boys from Good Shepherd met three when they were on their way home from school, and they brought him to the mission, and he was dirty, he was hungry, he was terrified. When Henry introduced him to us, he couldn't even look up. He just kept staring down at the floor. A little boy, terrified. But over the next 2 weeks, as we observed the loving care of this staff for that little boy, as we saw him living and playing with the other children, it was remarkable the transformation that took place in Sri's life. And the day before we left, he came into the building we were staying in, and he was with another boy. And the boys had their arms around each other and huge smiles on their faces. And Sri looked up at us, and with a big smile on his face, he said in English, "This is my best friend." That's what love does. Not just in India, but in all the places where God's people are called to love as God loves. Love casts out fear. Peter says that when love is my why, I am no longer in bondage to fear. And then he also says something else that happens when love is my why. When love is my why, I am not yet what I shall be. I am not yet what I shall be when love is my why. Look at the second half of verse 15. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands for you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. What's happening is that the people in the community around this little Christian church are noticing that those they are persecuting have this hope about them. And Peter is saying that that's the case because they understand their why. They know that they are loved, and because of that, they are not yet what they shall be. Some years ago, I read this wonderful book by Pastor John Ortberg entitled The Life You've Always Wanted. And in this book, Ortberg writes about one of my favorite cartoon characters, Popeye the Sailor Man. I mean, I love Popeye the Sailor Man. And when Popeye was frustrated, or he wasn't sure about something, do you remember what he would always say? "I am what I am. And that's all I am." You know, Popeye was not a sophisticated guy. He knew who he was. He was a simple, seafaring, pipe-smoking, olive oil-loving sailor man. And he wouldn't pretend to be anything else. He owned his story. I am what I am. And yet there is kind of a note of sadness as I think about Popeye the Sailor Man today. Because it's good to be in touch with your shortcomings, but it doesn't give him much of a shot of ever improving or growing or getting to be what he am not. Don't get your hopes up, he seems to say. Don't expect too much. I am what I am. And Popeye, I have to tell you, that's kind of sad. And Ortberg writes in his book, God's plan is not simply to repair most of our brokenness. He wants to make us new creatures. And so the story of the human race is not just that of universal disappointment. It is one of inextinguishable hope. Popeye, I love your cartoons, but you got it wrong. When we know our why, we have this inextinguishable hope that in Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, the best is yet to be. We are not yet what we shall be in Christ. And when we know our why, we recognize the hope that we have in Him. Now, these verses suggest one more thing that happens when we know our why. When love is my why, I can love with no strings attached. Peter points us to the example of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 17. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. Now, if you follow the life and ministry of Jesus, you will see such a magnificent example of love. And love with no strings attached. Jesus suffered for doing good. He suffered because of the sins of others. The righteous one for the unrighteous ones. He went through it all. Was put to death and then made alive. To bring us to God. You know, Jesus might have said with another famous cartoon character, I got no strings to hold me down. But we are often held down by the strings that we attach to our love. I will love you if. Or I will love you when. Or I cannot love you because. But when your why is love, when you live every day with the assurance that you are loved, it transforms you. This is what Jesus was talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, we read this. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. What difference would it make in the life of our families, our communities, our world, if we could follow the example of Jesus and love with no strings attached? People of God, do you know your why? You may not have the magnificent voice of that man who sang Amazing Grace, but your singing will be different in church. Your whole experience of worship will be different, Peter reminds us, when our singing, when our worship is in response to the wonderful love of our blessed Redeemer. Love, it casts out fear. Love, It gives us hope, love. It sets us free to be like Jesus. Love is our why. And so in our worship, may everything we do be in response to that love that embraces every one of us. And in our living, may it be as an act of worship, so that knowing our why, we might love in everything. Amen.